What's going on, guys? It's your boy DJ Skinless here, and we're back with another wrestling episode of Wrestling Madness. If you guys want to check out my podcast, you can go on anchor.fm/wrestling-madness. You can also check it out on Spotify under DJ Skinless when you go into the search bar and search podcast. Or you just type in Wrestling Madness on there as well. You can find all my podcasts and my wrestling talk and stuff like that on there. Alright guys, so for this one, we're just going to break down some stories and news with the WWE as well as AEW. We're going to talk about their debut on Fox as well as TNT as well. And this podcast is supported by The Ringside Roster. You can check out their Facebook group at The Ringside Roster as well as their website, TheRingsideRoster.com. So right now, we're just going to go over some news on The Ringside Roster Facebook. But right here we have that they're actually going to sell a Sasha Banks blue wig. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Let's see what price it is. $19. I think you can get this at Hot Topic or Kmart for even less. That's pretty generic. We got some news here. Roman Reigns, he addressed a possible feud with The Rock in the future. It's kind of weird because The Rock said that he's thinking about retiring. I think he even said that he did a quiet retirement. But you know, with Vince McMahon and everything, they could bring you back 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Money talks. And we all know The Rock is a huge celebrity. He doesn't really need nothing. He doesn't really need no more money. The only reason he would come back is for the passion of wrestling and maybe for his family. So I could definitely see this happening. I don't think The Rock's going to come back for the crown jewel like Shawn Michaels or anything. But Roman went on to say, if it's done right, I think obviously the star that he is, where he is with his career, it would be huge. It would be great. But you know, we're family, so it has to make sense. And I kind of made a post about this. Like, what you would have to do is you would have to get the Usos involved and maybe have a segment where The Rock is accidentally speared by Roman Reigns. And Roman does this whole cocky, you know, bravado where he says, this is my yard, you stepped in my way. And it would have been brilliant to tie in Rikishi and have it, I did it for Roman or I did it for Rock, come full circle. And they could have did it with the whole Rowan angle instead of having Rowan like be the guy that was trying to drop shelves on Roman Reigns. You could have had it be Rikishi, and then you could have had The Rock come out like a week later and tell Roman Reigns it was Rikishi. He knows it because he was bragging about it to the Usos or something like that. And then you could have had Rikishi and the Usos jump Roman Reigns while The Rock's there or the following week. And then Rock accidentally eats a spear, and that's where you do the whole Roman saying, you're in my way, I just want my revenge, you know, type stick. And there you go, you could lead that into a match. Now, I'm not sure how you would make Rikishi's motive. Maybe Rikishi's motive is that Roman Reigns is getting all the shine as a main eventer, and the Usos are kind of held back being tag champions and a tag team. I think that would make a lot of sense. Now, are they this smart to make a whole segment and a whole storyline out of this? Definitely not. He'll probably just show up, oh, okay, we're going to have a match now, and that's about it. Other news, TLC was just announced for December 15th. It's going to be tickets on sale October 11th at 12 p.m. at thetargetcenter.com/WWE-TLC. Here we got a good ad from Hell in a Cell here, and it's just a tweet from Mick Foley. He says, personally, I would like to see Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks close the main event in Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I think they deserve it, and I think they had the potential to create something really special on Sunday. Let me know what you think. And I think that would be kind of cool for a woman to do a Hell in a Cell match, but I don't really think they would allow them to go on top of the cage, you know, on top of the cell, like they did with Mankind and The Undertaker. Here we got a image for the crown jewel where, you know, on Raw they had Team Hogan versus Team Flair, and the ones that were announced were Seth Rollins being with Team Hogan and Randy Orton, of course, being with Team Flair because of his Evolution roots. So now we know that Rusev is joining with Hogan and Seth Rollins, and King Corbin is going to be on Ric Flair's team. I'm not really sure who's going to be the other guys. You might get a tag team in here. My guess is Randy Orton might have the Revival be the two here. Not sure who the sixth man is going to be. Possibly Cesaro. I think he would make sense, but the way that they keep burying him, I'm not too sure. As for here, I guess you would do a babyface tag team. Also, we got some tweets here from Kofi Kingston and Paul Heyman. Kofi says, facing Brock Lesnar this Friday is all about challenging myself and further solidifying my WWE title reign. As a father, after watching what he did to Rey Mysterio and his child, now it's about beating a reckless, egotistical asshole and making him go away forever. Paul Heyman responded on Twitter, a personal message from my client Brock Lesnar to Kofi Kingston. You Ain't Man Enough. All three of the New Day combined ain't man enough. Kiss your title and your ass goodbye. I love it when they tweet stuff like this because it makes the storyline more compelling, kind of like when he had Talking Smack a couple years ago, where you got to see the characters, well, the performers more outside of their character, and they got more time to shine doing talking segments rather than scripted promos. So I love it when they kind of take the whole Twitter and social media and trying to build their whole storyline around everything that's going on there as well. Even though sometimes you can't really tell if it's a shoot or a actually scripted tweet. And if you didn't check out Raw last night, the opening was Brock Lesnar destroying Rey Mysterio Jr. and his son, Dominic. And we'll go over that. But this one right here is about Bobby Lashley kissing Lana. Now, if you didn't know, Rusev came back a couple weeks ago. He's been in the whole Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis storyline where she's pregnant and she's basically making Mike Kanellis her bitch boy, really. And the whole storyline is basically Maria Kanellis hoeing around, cheating on her husband, while Mike Kanellis is basically whipped. So here we got the whole image here that ended the show. And we got Aiden English here, Drama King WWE, saying, "I told you so." So I wonder if he's referring to Rusev in this regard, if he's basically saying, "I told you so," like this was going to happen to Rusev if he came back, or that maybe he was going to say that Lana was going to end up in the angle with someone else. I don't know. And here we got the actual segment here. And this is so funny because Bobby Lashley just kept putting out his arm and then he would bring it back in and then look at Rusev, and then he'll go turn towards the entrance again, put his arm out, and nobody will come out again. And then Bobby Lashley will do the same thing all over again. It took like three tries. And if you guys aren't familiar with the guy on YouTube, it's called The Botch Guy. He has all these different YouTube videos on Bobby Lashley being the most confused person on earth. It's where he makes a mistake or he just looks totally out of it, doesn't know what's going on. And this looks like another segment right here where he's just waiting there and Lana's not coming out. And there was actually a lot of botches during this Raw, but you know, it's basically the premiere of the new season and they had a whole new Titantron like layout, mostly a totally LED platform here, basically a big giant screen, and it looked just like a Tony Hawk Pro Skater arena. You know, it looked like somebody was going to come down on their little bike like David Mira and do some tricks and stuff like that. And I mostly hate this type of platform because I'm just not used to it. It just looks totally bland to me. They also had another segment where they messed up, where The Miz was calling out Ric Flair and he did the whole stick there where he says, "Oh, he's a 16-time world champion." And then when Ric Flair came out on the LED screen, it had 17-time world champion. Like, come on, guys, you got to get this right. This is the season premiere on USA. Come on, we got to compete against AEW this week. Anyways, let's get back to this video here. And if you're not watching this video, just go to my YouTube, youtube.com/scandalous talk, and you'll watch the video version.
What? Dang, you said happy wife, happy life. This wife is making herself happy. What on earth is going on here?
And right there, he was like, "Oh, everyone, you know, spins her around, you know."
Come on. What is in the water here on Monday Night Raw? That's Rusev's wife! What did she mean by this?
And then he did a whole hug, and then he said one more time, and he did a kiss, and then they did a whole makeout section, and then they actually French kissed after that, and had Baron Corbin and Randy Orton on the sideline laughing at Rusev. And with this angle, I'm not totally sure if it's the actual script or a shoot or not. I assume that they brought Rusev back, mainly because he's still under contract, and Rusev can't get out of his contract, because they'll just keep adding on time the more months that he misses. So Rusev probably felt compelled to come back so he can actually leave. But as you guys know, they always make the wrestlers seem like jackasses and completely embarrass them if they don't sign new contracts. And they did the same thing with the Revival. They did not want to resign their contracts. And then the next week on like Raw, they're in the bathroom shaving each other's back in their towels. Now you have Rusev and Lana, which they are married in real life. They have it on Instagram. And a couple years ago, they came out to TMZ that they're actually getting married. And this kind of went against the storyline of Lana being with Dolph Ziggler and stuff like that. So, you know, Vince McMahon was butthurt all about that, even though a lot of wrestlers have come out and say that they're dating so-and-so or leaks out on the internet. We've seen that with Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. Now that it seems like it's more okay. But this storyline doesn't seem really believable because in real life, you know, Lana and Rusev are married. So basically, Rusev was going to be the father of Maria Kanellis' baby, and that made Lana cheat on Rusev. So I guess that's the whole storyline here, where it's like a lover's quarrel. But why of Rusev of all people? And it's actually funny because the YouTube section of the comments are totally getting crazy and out of hand, saying Lana's getting blacked and everything like that. But to me, I think this is a really petty move because it just seems like they're just trying to embarrass Rusev because maybe he didn't resign. And I thought he was actually getting a nice push the last 2 weeks. I thought they were going to push him to the moon and try to convince him to stay. Now I think this is just going to make things worse. I think he's really going to end up leaving now. Further down, we got Rusev is distracted, lights go out, The Fiend appears and puts Seth Rollins in the mandible claw. And that happened after Rusev and the whole Lana angle. And I really thought The Fiend was going to take out Rusev, so it was actually quite surprising he went after Seth Rollins. Here's another image here, Bobby Lashley and Lana returned during the Seth Rollins and Rusev match. We had AJ beat Cedric Alexander to retain the US title. We also had another episode of Bray Wyatt and the Firefly Funhouse. On this week's episode, Bray Wyatt, Abby, Huskus, and Mercy were all worried about what will happen to Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. Bray says he's too scared because there's nothing like it no matter what. He knows The Fiend will come back, but Seth won't be so lucky. He says The Fiend wants to hurt Seth Rollins really bad. And then we have Ricochet beating Cesaro, which I like that they're giving Ricochet a whole push here, but constantly week after week they make Cesaro lose time and time again, and Cesaro is one of the biggest waste of talents that the WWE has ever had, next to Wade Barrett, Damian Sandow when he got over multiple times on his own, which totally went against their whole heel push. So I think that's why the WWE didn't really push them, because they didn't really intend for that to happen. Sandow got over constantly in every gimmick he's had, but he was always pushed down. The same thing with Wade Barrett. Bad News Barrett, and when he was in with the Nexus, he's constantly getting over, and they constantly pushed him down. And the same with Cesaro. We have We the People, the Cesaro section, and also in the bar, you know, he had a great run with Sheamus, and he was getting cheered there too. Every time the fans get behind him, they constantly bury him. I don't understand it. Also, guys, before we get into the whole Lesnar and Mysterio angle, AEW has their premiere show on TNT this week. So the actual name of AEW Dynamite is just AEW Dynamite. We thought it would be Wednesday Night Dynamite, but they just totally cut it down. I think that was an attempt because if the NBA wraps up their season after the finals, then they could possibly move the show to Thursdays or Tuesdays if they want. And this might give them an advantage against the WWE if they can have different off-season days that the show's actually on. Anyways, guys, so the card for their debut on TNT October 2nd, which is actually going to be tonight, Cody versus Sammy Guevara, MJF versus Brandon Cutler, Rio versus Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's title, Jon Moxley appearing live, which he obviously can't wrestle, Hangman Page versus Pac, also known as Neville, if Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, versus Chris Jericho and two mystery partners. And Chris Jericho actually just announced his mystery partners. It's going to be LAX, Ortiz and Santana. Ortiz and Santana already debuted months ago. So why did they have Chris Jericho paired with two mystery partners, and they wouldn't even tell us who his tag team partners were? So it just seems like a big waste if it was already two people that were already debuted on the roster. I think maybe they were hoping that they could sign somebody. I'm not sure if it's CM Punk. I'm not sure if it's Big Cass and Enzo. But even then, even though a lot of people hate Enzo and Cass, that would have been a big surprise. All right, so let's get into Lesnar Rey Mysterio angle. And this is from Bleacher Report. And this is a couple botches here because Jerry Lawler keeps saying, oh, he's a teenager.
Dominic is a teenager.
Brock Lesnar is attacking Rey Mysterio's son. But when you go on Google, Dominic is 22 years old.
And now it's a teenager son.
Also, when Brock Lesnar is out the ring, you see the ref come up, and the ref goes and tells Lesnar, one more, one more. He's basically telling Lesnar, one more time, go in there. And I think that's kind of funny. I made a comment on YouTube saying it was the ref's heel turn, and that he put a head out on Rey Mysterio and his son. And you'll see it right here. Anyways, guys, Monday's episode of Raw opened up with Brock Lesnar destroying Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic. The segment reportedly may have been to set up a feud between Lesnar down the line. This is according to the Wrestling Observer Radio, The WWE ran an angle in hopes of building a match towards Lesnar and former UFC star Cain Velasquez. The reported idea behind the segment was that WrestleMania, a Mexican icon like Mysterio, would lead to Velasquez going after Lesnar to get his revenge. Velasquez has started to transition into professional wrestling and has reportedly already had discussions with the WWE regarding the match with Lesnar. It also reads, like Lesnar, Velasquez is a former UFC heavyweight champion. In fact, Velasquez beat Lesnar for the title at UFC 121 in 2010 by TKO. Also, we got another botch here. We have Baron Corbin sitting in his throne during the whole Lana Lashley angle. And the throne actually gave away, and Baron Corbin almost fell on his ass. This reads, a hilarious botch involving King Baron Corbin was captured Monday by a fan during a Raw commercial break. Ahead of the main event between Universal Champion Seth Rollins and Rusev, Corbin was sitting on his throne at the top of the stage when it suddenly broke. Corbin managed to stand up in the nick of time, but Randy Orton could barely contain himself after watching the throne collapse. When Raw returned for commercial break, Rusev could be seen laughing and smiling in the ring, saying, "What happened to your chair?" The incident was never addressed on the telecast, but when Bobby Lashley and Lana made their entrance, Corbin and Orton could be seen off to the side standing in front of the broken throne. Corbin took to Twitter and blamed Chad Gable for the malfunction. Alright, so let's check out the actual video clip here. And you can see Corbin here trying to keep his composure and try to stay in character and act like a heel here and come up to the one of the commentators, Jerry Lawler there, and probably like say, "Oh, I need your chair," or something like that. Or he probably said, "Did you do something to my throne?" Right at the end there, you can see Corbin come up to Randy Orton while Randy Orton was hunched over. Corbin hunches over to say something to him, and then you see Randy Orton step back and put it like his hand in front of his chest saying, "Who, me?" or something like that. Also, we got more AEW news here. We got former WWE World Champion Jack Swagger reportedly could be in the mix to sign with AEW. According to Sports Illustrated, AEW may be planning to have Jack Swagger make a surprise debut on Wednesday's inaugural episode of AEW Dynamite on TNT. He was part of the WWE's main roster from 2008 to 2017, and during that time he won a World Heavyweight Championship, ECW Championship, US title, and the Money in the Bank. Since leaving the WWE, he has wrestled for some independent companies, and he also won the Lucha Underground Championship on what may stand as a series finale of Lucha Underground. Most recently, Swagger transitioned into MMA. He owns a 2-0 record at the Bellator with victories over JW Kaiser and TJ Jones by first round submission. He is scheduled to face Anthony Garrett at the Bellator 231 on October 25th. Swagger could help generate some crossover buzz for AEW on his debut episode, and due to his WWE ties, signing him could be viewed as a shot across the bow. Alright guys, so that's it for this week's episode on random news from AEW and the WWE. Like I said guys, you can check out all my podcasts on anchor.fm/scandalous talk, as well as Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts. Or you can just check out my wrestling ones at anchor.fm/wrestling-madness, as well as Spotify under Wrestling Madness. Also, guys, be sure to check out the Ringside Roster's Facebook and website. Their Facebook is at Ringside Roster, and their website is theringsideroster.com. Thanks for listening. This is DJ Scandalous signing out. Peace out.